It doesn't take much these days.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. A couple of positive economic reports this morning, and Wall Street's jumping. The Dow is ahead 176 points, just over 2% at 8,388. The NASDAQ is up 30 points, about 1.75%. The S&P 500 up 19 points, or 2.2%. Major European markets closed up 2.5% today, and Asian markets soared, some of them more than 5%. Okay, here are those two reports. Construction spending posted a surprising little 0.3% rebound last month after five straight declines. The other news was in home sales, and for that we're joined by Scott Sambucci, head of data analytics at Altos Research. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
The National Association of Realtors says pending sales of existing homes rose more than expected last month, 3.2%. How big a deal is this?
We actually would have been surprised had it not been an increase in March. Obviously,
you were more accurate in your predictions than some others.
Well, we watch markets in real time, so even our data today reflects market activity as of Friday. So we've been seeing some price levity in the market over the last couple of months. It's just that it's just now getting recorded and reported by National Association of Realtors and some other places.
And so tell us, what's the most important thing about this number to you?
There's a couple of things. Is that there's the number in the number, and I think what we're seeing is a lot of the seller activity is at the lower end of the market, which just basically says, look, when prices fall, buyer activity rises.
So how important is this? I mean, everyone's wondering about a bottom, but we're also hearing more credit card defaults are on the way. Unemployment keeps rising. What does this number really mean to you in the big picture?
For us, we think that it's sort of the end of the beginning, if you will, so that we're seeing the market activity come around, but not to get too excited, because the real test will be how prices, if prices stabilize after the spring selling season and through the fall. If we start to see some stabilization throughout the rest of the year, then yeah, it could be the sign of the end. But if prices really start to deteriorate in the second half of the year, then we could still be in for more of a long haul before we reach the bottom.
Scott Sambucci, Altos Research, thank you.
Thank you.
A few minutes ago, President Obama made a push for collecting more taxes on international profits.
The way to make American businesses competitive is not to let some citizens and businesses dodge their responsibilities while ordinary Americans pick up the slack. Unfortunately, that's exactly what we're doing.
Obama would eliminate some of the deductions companies get for officially earning their profits in the Bahamas or the Cayman Islands or someplace with a low tax rate. He also wants American citizens who use international tax havens to be presumed guilty of violating tax laws. Businesses have opposed these measures in the past. The head of Fiat is talking with the German government today about taking over General Motors' Opel unit there. This is on top of the ongoing deal to merge with Chrysler. Fiat is in this position of strength because of its strength in small cars. But what do you get when you cross a spider with a minivan? John Dimsdale reports.
The Fiat Topolino, one of Europe's first economy cars.
Before Fiat abandoned the U.S. in the early 1980s, it went after the early market for saving money at the gas pump.
The Fiat Strada. Strada combines the best gas mileage of any compact car in America.
Fuel efficiency is fashionable again, so expect smaller Chryslers that look like, among other models, the Mini Cooper-sized Fiat 500. Chrysler is known for stodgier suburban minivans and could also use another type of fashion.
That whole Italian thing is unique.
Roger Hart, the managing editor for Auto Week in Detroit, says Chrysler needs a more sporty image.
Part of this mix, we would hope, would also be the lineup from Alfa Romeo, which had also talked about coming into the U.S. market even before this hookup with Fiat and Chrysler.
Analysts say Fiat's sportier cars will aim at a more urban customer, and that would mean moving Chrysler dealerships from the suburbs to the city. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thriven Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thriven.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
Here's a town in Nebraska trying to turn things around in this recession. Here's Alex Schmidt.
The town of Ord is smack in the middle of Nebraska. It has a population of just 2,200. But here at a local convenience store, there are about 20 racks filled with magazines and brochures promoting tourism around the region. There are pictures of teenagers jet skiing on a scenic river. You can read an article about the historic fort in Ord and learn about their quaint town square. Caleb Pollard, director at the Ord Chamber of Commerce, says these days a $60 all-inclusive wine tasting near Ord is more attractive to big city folks than that two-week holiday in Europe.
It's quirky and it's different, too. I mean, how many people can say that they went out and went wine tasting in the sandhills of central Nebraska?
But tourism can only bring in so many dollars. One of the real challenges to a community like this is population decline and brain drain. Ord has created incentives for new businesses, like leasing land for just a dollar an acre. And the town has a network to let people know, using email newsletters, a blog, even a Facebook page.
You know, out of sight, out of mind, inside in mind type of thing.
25-year-old Luke Kavorek left Ord for college, and those newsletters convinced him to move back. Many of his friends are considering doing the same, but there's one thing holding them back. Not enough women.
I know, like, one kid, and he wants to move to Ord in the worst way, but he's going to stay in Omaha until he finds a girl and then try and move back.
It could take a while before people like Kavorek move to Ord en masse. Will Lamb has studied small-town innovation at the University of North Carolina. He says the time it takes can vary widely.
To me, it depends on what the asset that the community is trying to leverage for economic development is and how easy is it to turn that asset into some real value.
Lamb says it took several decades for Branson, Missouri to turn itself into a country music mecca, but it took just a couple of years for the town of Scotland Neck in North Carolina to reimagine itself as an outdoor recreation destination. In Ord, Nebraska, I'm Alex Schmidt for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Have a great Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.